Diana was in her final year of high school. She had spent her whole summer at camp. Already it felt like so long ago. Camp was connected to her Christian faith. She felt totally at home there. She was loved and loved for who she was, what she wore, how many friends she had, what she had achieved, whether she had a boyfriend or whatever way she went. None of that mattered when she was at camp. It was all about love. Now, even though there was always drama going on at camp, love always won out in the end. But school, that could be different. Her school friends, some of them anyway, like her, they had to contend with all kinds of challenges. They were only a week into school, and one of Diana's friends, Sandy, was already back into her self-pity mode. Everyone else had it better than Sandy. They had better parents, better summers, better looks, more friends, better grades. For all Diana's efforts to help Sandy appreciate the half glass that was full, Sandy always ended up absorbed in the half glass that was empty. For all the love Diana had felt over the summer, being with Sandy could bring her down. Besides this, Sandy could get so absorbed with herself that Diana could never find the space to share any of her own struggles, her own passions, her own fears. She couldn't have space to share any of that. And then there was Diana's other friend, Brenda. Brenda, she also had issues, but hers were different than Sandy's. Brenda's issues had to do with her self-esteem. She always felt she was somehow inadequate. Too fat, too ugly, not smart enough, not someone others wanted to be with. Maybe it was her camp and faith experience that made her reach out as she did, but Diana felt committed to trying to help Brenda see herself the way God saw her, as a beautiful child of God, full of possibility and worth. But unless Brenda could see herself that way and believe that way, nothing would change. Brenda loved Diana because Diana genuinely cared about her and made her feel better about herself. But then there were others around her, and through social media too, who showed up Brenda's inadequacies and deficiencies. As much as Diana gave to Brenda, Brenda was too consumed with her self-loathing to give much back to Diana or anyone else for that matter. And then there was Pat. Pat, she did not suffer from self-pity or self-loathing. In fact, she thought she was awesome. In fact, she thought she was so awesome, she spent much of their time sharing with Diana all the followers she had and all the friends who wanted some of her attention and time. It's like Pat had this insatiable hunger to be adored. She was totally absorbed with herself. After a whole summer where Diana experienced a lot of love given and received, being with Pat too much, it could bring her down too. Pat lived in her own world for all the so-called followers she had. She was so immersed in her world, she had no inner space to pay attention to anyone else or appreciate the beauty and wonder of anyone else. Already a week into school, and Diana felt a little embattled. Maybe she needed a new environment and spend time with a different group of friends. But she also realized how much Brenda and Pat and Sandy, they were typical in many ways of what they were going through and how that isolated them from real friendship and real love. They were all or many of them living in their own bubbles, totally self-absorbed, whether it was self-pity or self-loathing or self-promotion or something else. absorbed. How could Diana find a way to connect that kept her summer camp experience alive through the school year? What was it about her camp experience that made her want something different? The Apostle Paul, he could relate to Diana. Even though he didn't have summer camp, the apostle had tasted something in Christian community that made him want something better. Many of the Corinthian Christians were like Diana's friends. You know, they brought the world into church with them. They all wanted love, but they all went about it all wrong. The more they fought to claim love for themselves, the more they isolated themselves, pushing each other away, leaving them feeling empty and unfulfilled in the end. Some thought they were amazing, and they were hungry for attention and praise. Look how awesome I am. Others felt inadequate, given that they didn't have the gifts, the looks, the popularity, the success. And then there were those who always felt hard done by and who always saw how others had it so much better than them. In response, the apostle offers them a very different vision. Paul's vision, it's all about love and what true love and relationship is all about. But where does the inspiration and energy of true love come from? For Paul, it is all about Christ. Christ is not just a person. Christ is spirit, and Christ is energy, and Paul imagines a whole network of people in relationship in the church as a body, the body of Christ. When church really works, and that's not a given, when church really works, it is the body of Christ. And it is Christ as spirit and energy that inspires true love as the connector. Jesus is like the head and the heart of the body. The rest of us who are connected to Christ are like the parts of the body. To the degree that we are connected to our head and heart, we are very much part of the body and have a distinctive and necessary function as part of the body. But if we are disconnected from our head and heart, we somehow die inside and we undermine the healthy functioning of the body. Without the Christ Spirit in us energizing us, the love we feel inside in moments and experiences, that love, it can wither and die as the brutalities of life around us push up against us. The question is, will the body function as a healthy whole, or will the body be corrupted by the sinful toxins of the world all around? Well, Paul, the Corinthians could ask, what are those sinful toxins you're thinking about? Here's what Paul says. If the foot were to say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Now, why would the foot or the ear say that about themselves? Why do we put ourselves down, feel inadequate, or feel hard done by? Because we have absorbed the negative toxins of our world. There are constantly things around us and people too, and it could be something that goes way back into our childhood, who contribute to us feeling bad about ourselves or sorry for ourselves. And this, it undermines love in that we cannot feel connected to people when we experience such self-loathing and self-pity. The values of the world around us eat into us in terms of how we feel about ourselves, and we become absorbed with ourselves and isolated as a result. But the apostle adds something more. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So why would the eye and the head say such things to the hand and the feet? Because they feel superior, and because they are promoting their own importance and value over against others. The world around us is not only a place where we can be made to loathe ourselves, feel inadequate, or feel hard done by, not only that, the world is also a highly competitive place where our value and worth as human beings, it's dependent on how much better, how much more popular and beautiful and successful and worthy we are for the praise, attention, and ultimately love of others. That's the world around us. What pressure to promote ourselves. And if everyone is so busy having to promote themselves over against each other, who has the inner space and heart to actually admire and love each other? What a terrible foundation for love, and what a terrible understanding of what love actually is and how it works. And so Paul counters such toxic and destructive attitudes and thoughts with what true love is when Christ is the spirit and the energy. First, over against the idea that we are to be loved only as we are superior and more beautiful and successful and popular than others, true love, that is Christ energy, functions in a totally opposite way. Thinking of the image of the body, Paul says this: the members of the body that seem weaker are treated as indispensable, and those members that could be thought of as less honorable are clothed with greater honor, and those that can be thought of as less respectable are treated with greater respect. In other words, as human beings, we find our value, our worth, and we find real love when we are transformed by Christ's spirit and energy to love so that others are lifted up, not brought down, lifted up. And as they are lifted up through our loving of them, we are lifted up. And together we are part of something special, the body of Christ. Cutting others down or competing against them for a limited portion of love, it's a zero-sum game that leaves us all starving for love in the end. Loving one another by being attentive to each other and lifting each other up opens up infinite space for love to flow like blood and oxygen through the whole network of relationships that make up the body. And finally, the apostle offers one more key to unlocking the door to true love. He says this: God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. In other words, the apostle is saying that rather than clamoring to get to the top of whatever ladder we may want to climb, paying attention to those who cannot climb any ladder and helping them climb, or even more, just staying with them at the bottom if they can't climb, it's actually the true way to get to the top. Being there for others and caring for others, creating space in ourselves for others because we are not totally absorbed with ourselves. Whether it's our problems and issues or our need to feel on top, in the end, we only isolate ourselves and choke off the very love we're after. Only as we genuinely turn to each other do we also find our own individual fullness as children of God and members of Christ's body. Okay, awesome insights, very inspiring, but how can all this gospel insight help Diana? Well, Diana needs to find the kinds of relationships in her life that counter what she's encountering in school and in the world all too often. She needs to get connected somehow to the body of Christ wherever she can find it, so she can feed on the spirit and energy of true love, who is Christ. Diana needs to be loved for who she is, and she needs to be with people who have space and energy to love her and treasure the unique person she is as she is, not as she may have something of value the world values, as she is. Diana needs to be able to share her gifts without being evaluated in a competitive environment, to share her gifts. She needs to be recognized in all her unique and distinctive beauty compared to no one else but herself and before no one else but God, who embraces her as infinitely beautiful for all her flaws and imperfections. This is what church can and should be. We here at Armour Heights Church are called to be the body of Christ, just like the Corinthians were. We are called to see each other and treat each other as members of the same body, worthy of infinite love, lifting each other up and making space in our hearts for each other for all our flaws and imperfections. We only grow and become better when we are loved, not put down in competitive criticisms and evaluations. And we experience love inside as we share love on the outside. We don't have to earn love to be loved. We experience love as we love others and give them opportunity to love us back. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Let us live the love we are called to be. Let us live it. As members of the body of Christ, let us contribute to the body as a whole so that each of us may find abundance and sustenance all year round.